Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to talk about crop circles. And most of you know about crop circles. I've met very few people who don't know about them. But what do you know about them? That's the point. The big mystery. That's the mystery. What are crop circles? And fortunately, there's a new film about crop circles. And we're going to be talking with the producer of that film. And Suzanne Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Anybody who doesn't know about crop circles, you say, see signs? And they go, oh, those.
Well, you know, crop circles, those of us who have looked at the history of crop circles, they started off fairly primitive. They weren't very elaborate. They seem to be getting more and more sophisticated. Could that be because the people who create them are getting better at it?
Well, I think if you were going to ask me what I think, because we already have to conjecture. They're not telling us. They're just delivering these things. My conjecture is that they respond to interest. We actually have a verification of a crop circle from 1678. That's in the crop circle lore. And every 100 years or so, there'd be some kind of flurry in the literature of the day. That was a little woodcut in Old English in a pamphlet. And but then the flurry would go away, and the crop circles, you know, seemingly would return another 100 years later, like saying, are you ready for us, you know? And in the 70s, we became ready for them, and then they became ever more elaborate as we were interested in them. So there's some kind of engagement going on, interaction between them and us.
And, of course, who are they? There are a lot of fake crop circles, too. So what's the difference, and how do we know if we're being fooled or not?
One of the big questions. I wish we always did know. When the crop circles get trampled by, they're a big, you know, tourist attraction. And once they're trampled, it's hard to tell. But the most definitive way are the scientific tests. Science is our God. So when you take the material into the laboratory, as has been done, very scientific protocol is being followed. BLTresearch.com, bacon, lettuce, tomato, if you have to remember it, has all the scientific papers, and all the papers attest to the fact that there are changes in the plants and the soil that can't be accounted for, and that would be your definitive test, but that's expensive. I mean, they really do scientific protocol, and it's been done enough times to verify the fact that we have an inexplicable phenomenon. But the things you look for when you go into the circles, the first thing you look for are what we call crease marks, and I show that in my movie, which is What on Earth is the name of it. And you see the marks of the board that's used to stomp them down, as opposed to the natural bends they take on when they're done by the mysterious force. They just bend, and they bend at the nodal points, and there isn't any artificial crunching of them where these board marks leave these white lines. We show that in the movie. You'll see these white crease marks that are 3 feet wide, every stomp length, whatever that is, with the, you know, they stomp, and push these things down with boards. So that the first thing the researchers will do is get on their knees and look for the board marks. But there are other little signs as well. There are holes called blown nodes. We show that in the movie also, where the energy has come through the very dry crop at the end of the growing season of a crop, and there's no suppleness. The nodal point is where they bend over when the crop is green, and when they bend over when the crop is not green, but they can't bend in dry crops, so the energy blows holes in them. And you can see these real, you know, they're real holes, and they're very, you know, you can't mistake the fact when you see a hole, and we call them blown nodes. We have our little, you know, nomenclature for the various things in the circles, and we show you pictures of that in the movie. So that's what the researchers look for. And if you don't find any of those signs, if you don't find the crease marks, you don't find the blown nodes, and you've got good geometry, although the hoaxers have unfortunately acquired good geometers. It used to be, oh, terrible geometry. You would know, oh, that's the hoaxers. But they get better. They do get better at their craft. So those are some of the signs, the telltale signs.
Well, some of these crop circles are so elaborate that if you had a team working on it for a week, you probably couldn't get it done. And these happen overnight.
And a very short night, actually. They're closer to the North Pole in England, which is where the phenomenon is centered, even though it's been in 40 other countries. The most and the best come in England. What was the question now? Wait a minute. Come again.
About the length of time it takes.
How long it takes, yeah. Well, somehow those hoaxers do it. I don't quite know how, actually. They were supposed to take me out and show me, and instead of that, they started trashing me on the net, which is typical of the way the hoaxers behave. They, you know, for whatever reason, they do what they do. Like, they were nice to me for whatever reason in an interview that I did to try to say, you know, you want to know everything. You want to know the goods, the bads, the uglies, whatever. They show me, they take me out, and then, no, they never did take me out, and all of a sudden, all these horrible things were being said about me.
Do they take responsibility for all of the crop circles?
Well, actually, they don't. First of all, they can't really claim any of them because they go to jail. But they let you know that they are in the work. They won't tell you specifically which ones. They go on chats and they do trashing the phenomenon. But the truth is, they don't say that they're. You know why? I'll tell you one reason why they don't claim them as exclusively a hoax phenomenon. They want people to see them. They want to show them off.
They want to keep the mystery.
They have a certain artistic pride in what they create. And some of them actually are quite good artists. They have portfolios from other sorts of art, and they're actually quite good. But they want people to see them. And if it were, and the reason they're a draw is because of the mystery, because it seems like they could be coming from elsewhere. So they don't want to have that, go away.
And how do they respond to the scientific analysis of their crop circles versus the others?
They don't respond, they just don't. They'll go do their thing, they'll trash everybody, they'll scream at everybody, they'll call people names. Terrible when you get in the... Anytime you're online now and there's discussion, chat rooms, whatever there are, the hoaxers are so nasty. I mean, it isn't like they're having a conversation with you like you should be having. They're attacking, and calling you names and idiots and jerks and worse and whatever. Very...
It's a strange phenomenon in this world that we're faced with so much of that. When you don't expect it, I had a friend who was out at sea for 3 years, breaking the record on being out at sea nonstop for any length of time. And while he was out there, there were people trashing his voyage the whole time in such ugly ways. And he succeeded and proved them all idiots, but they were calling him an idiot the whole time. And you don't know why people are doing that. So there's something about the mysteries, and crop circles are certainly probably one among the greatest mysteries of all time, that attracts this alternative attack. This somehow the good needs to find the bad.
Well, I'll tell you what I think the advantage of it is, or the value of it is, because I do think there is a value. It makes us work very hard. It isn't being given to us on a silver platter totally, where if the hoaxers weren't there, we would all just be in immediate awe. We wouldn't have had to have really discerned anything. We wouldn't have had to have really worked for it. But when you work for it, you have to really cut through, the wheat and the chaff, and you have to really examine and really comprehend. Once you really get it, that there's a real phenomenon, you've worked for it, and then you own it. And I think it's much more powerful. I think that's kind of the answer to why don't they land on the White House lawn. Well, first of all, I think we'd shoot them, but aside from that, that's UFOs, why don't they land on, or make crop circles on the White House lawn. Well, that would be good, actually.
Yeah.
That would actually be good. But the UFOs, why don't they land? Well, because, first of all, we'd be, alarmed and scared and whatever, which is not the way an enlightened sort of engagement would take place. But in this crop circle world, boy, when you really get it that those hoaxers can't do it all, you've learned something, you know something, you own something, it's part of you. And I think that's the way you've developed and you've learned, and
right.
That, I think there's a value in that.
Well, it excites me that science is creating agreement about the unknown nature of the source of these crop circles, that they're produced in a way that we can't understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank goodness for that, because we do respect science, even though these papers have been published in peer-reviewed science journals, which is presumably where we get our reality from, and yet they are ignored. So, but it's hard, I think, for societies are inherently... They retain themselves inherently. I think that's why psychedelics are illegal and alcohol isn't. Psychedelics would change the way you see things. Alcohol keeps things in place. And there's something about the gears of a society that want to stay meshed the way they are. And it takes quite something to really radically affect them. It's just the way it is, you know.
It sure is. And you know, the growth of nutrition has bumped into that all the time, that... You know, everybody is very smart unless they start talking about nutrition, and then all of a sudden they're not respected the same way.
Uh-oh, don't talk to me about that. I like my sugar. Oh, dear.
Well,
dear.
You see, we all have our little glitches here.
And, really?
and yet, you know, it's, what's important is that we're all here for our purposes, and your purpose, obviously, not only is to... help us climb into the world of crop circles more, but as you were talking to me earlier, is about consciousness, and that, you know, it's a life of your work is to raise consciousness and help us evolve our consciousness.
Isn't it funny how we just have these things, you know, something about me wants to change everything and to wake people up. And I've been at it for a long time. Even before I knew about crop circles, I was producing events and projects that had to do with self-awareness, spirituality, consciousness. I've just always had a sense that there was more to life than the standard reality. And, you know, I was Phi Beta Kappa. I graduated from NYU summa cum laude. I kind of got 100 on everything. And then I looked at the world and I thought, how am I going to get 100 out here? The world, I mean, the world is so cockeyed. So, you know, I just started getting more and more interested in what I could do about that. And then the crop circles just came along as one subject matter. And when I really realized that, good possibility, we're not making them, that would change the entire world overnight. You know, if we could get contact into headlines, all of us would have to start thinking differently.
What you said, I think, is very important, that a lot of us, we want to get a better handle on our reality, and so we look for the mysteries and try to understand them better so we can know ourselves better and each other and perhaps be more successful as journeyers. And so we find different mysteries to solve. And I certainly work in the unknowns with my intuition and the strangeness of it all, and I'm always fascinated by what are these voices that are speaking through me and to me, and, you know, and who are these people? And even if they said who they were, how would I know that that's true? And so who are these people building crop circles, and how can they? And, you know, do people, I know people sit around these fields at night in anticipation of a new crop circle coming in at some point and watch for spaceships and whatever might be coming in and beaming down a crop circle, and nobody has ever seen anything.
Indeed. Well, first of all, nobody's ever identified any craft that does not seem to be a UFO-related phenomenon as we understand UFOs. And indeed, there are watches. People stay up all night on hills above likely fields. And in the morning, there's a crop circle. And they didn't see any people, what have you. It's all, you know, the whole thing is just full of mystery and, you know, confusion and whatever. But again, as we kind of sort our way through and discover that there's something real to the fact that we're being visited, and I think we all know that this material reality, just as you were speaking about, mystery intrigues us. This material world is not satisfying us now. You know, we're so attached to stuff, but it's not delivering the goods anymore. And so all the more reason to see beyond what we can, you know, touch and feel and put under microscopes and what have you. So it's a good time, actually, for larger exploration. And I love so that I really know something about these crop circles, because in this really difficult time we live in, I've got this shining hope out there of, knowing that there's more. So, and, gives me my little soapbox to talk about how we do need to change. And we do,
All right. Now, this is such a fascinating topic. And you look at these crop circles, and I'm staring at one right now on your shirt.
It's my uniform.
Yeah. That's a very elaborate crop circle.
It's
very
beautiful.
It's
the size of 2 football fields, by the way.
My gosh.
It's the biggest one ever. I mean, can you believe that? Just think about it. You're in something that has 409 separate elements. They happen to all be circles, although every formation is not all circles. But this one is. The size of 2 football fields. We end our movie with it, actually. By the way, our movie is What on Earth's the name of it. You can get it at cropcirclemovie.com, where you will see the trailer. That's the first thing that will come up. But we end the movie with a helicopter shot above the helicopter, above it, just one circle, and then we pull up, 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 and you see this. Finally, the helicopter becomes a dot. And you see this incredible expanse of circle. And then we fly over it. Everybody goes, "What?" They gasp at the end of the movie. So
that's amazing. So this is a film that's actually going to be playing in a theater also.
Well, this is a big deal for the movie. If people are listening to this show prior to April 28th, 2011, it's playing at the Quad Cinema. It's opening on the 22nd, and it goes through the 28th. That's Friday through Thursday. And that is a big deal. It's the first time that a movie on this subject will have been reviewed by the New York Times, which they assure me it will be. And I said, what if it's a bad review? I mean, the New York Times is not necessarily very receptive to this sort of thing. But the answer is, any review by the New York Times is better than no review by the New York Times. Kind of puts you in a different category of significance. So, okay.
Right. And so it is, because whatever the review is only adds to the mystery of crop circles.
In fact, if you get on New York Magazine, at the last I looked, there were 22 tens that the public sent in their reviews.
Oh, good.
New York Magazine was not too enthusiastic. But then there's this huge, public thing, and you read the details of people so excited. People love this movie.
That's great. And I think it might take a certain consciousness to love it. People who are interested in the mystery.
I'll tell you, one of the gratifying things is that people who love the movie show it to people who don't, like their husbands or their children or their parents, whatever. And I get so many things that say, they were total skeptics. I forced them to watch this movie or whatever. They did watch the movie. And, they've turned around. They see that there's something to it.
But let me say that those people, often they're in denial because they're protecting the status quo.
Absolutely.
And this upsets that, and that might not be very comfortable for those people.
Well, certainly at the larger societal level. At the individual level, people do change their minds. And I didn't make it for the believers. I made it for those people, the masses, who would watch it just as human beings without, being part of the power structure that keeps the system in place, and just watch it and go, whoa, more to it than I thought. That's who I made it for. And that's why I'm thrilled that it's having a theatrical run now, because it will get out to the larger public that way. It's had a huge success on the internet to the niche market, which is us, and it's been just really successful. This is the first move that's out into the big public world, so I'm thrilled that this is happening, actually.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to just experience the crop circles themselves. Because I'm sure the film gets you into it,
ends. Yeah, really. It's a beautiful movie. We have beautiful footage of the circles, footage you won't see anywhere else, because I knew who the people were who were taking the good films. So, and, you don't use all your own aerials. You couldn't, because it's too many years, you're not there, and it's expensive to fly. So some of the aerials are ours. But I've gone and acquired them from the best photographers, cinematographers. So beautiful, beautiful crop circles.
So let's talk a little bit about the mystery. And what do people understand about where it might be coming from and what they might be saying?
Two good questions. The first one is, as someone in the movie says, where does it come from? Well, we don't know. The only thing we can definitively say is, not us.
Right.
So, seriously, we've never identified anything in the universe other than science fiction that can function, quote, like human beings, that can could have delivered these things. We have no idea. Another dimension, another universe, the future, who knows, you know, don't know. Now, what are they trying, why? Why are they delivering to us? Again, now this, that you can't speculate about. Where they're coming from, you have no idea. But what are they doing, we speculate about. Why are they being delivered? So I will give you my speculation. I have a file of people's opinions. But, my opinion is that we're being helped. And we're being helped not, as I say, by being hit over the head or handed something on a silver platter. I think that's that, you know, law of non-intervention. But we are being given this opportunity to discover that there is other intelligence in the universe. And then we would be one humanity in relation to the other. We have nothing to relate to now outside ourselves. Nothing pulls us into being one humanity. So we're just at each other's throats. But this way we'd be kind of a collective in relation to the other, which would be so good for us.
This is an opportunity. This is the only known contact we have with some other intelligence.
Well, indeed. The UFOs are much more difficult to pin down. You can't. They come and they go. And then usually the UFO people, you say, well, what if they were for real? And they say, well, they would be. And they say, well, so what? And they, well, what does that question mean? You know, they're not thinking about the implications. But it would really be the same. Once you discover that something can function with intelligence that isn't us, then you really have to start rethinking the whole universe. You know, where are we? Who are we? What are we doing here? Which would be so good for us. We're so arrogant, you know, we're the top of the chain. We're the big it. But what if we weren't? We would have to think everything through again.
There's a new film coming out about Cowboys and Aliens, and what's nice, I haven't seen it, but what I understand is that the cowboys are at war with the Indians, and there's all this stuff going on, this anger towards everybody, and then the aliens show up, and all of a sudden, everyone comes together.
Oh, beautiful. That's exactly what I'm talking about. A film that's going to make my point. Yeah, just like, you know, I can say Signs, and some people say, oh, Crop Circles. Now I can say, oh, you know that it, Cowboys and Aliens, we all came together. Yay!
Right. So this is something that the more that's revealed to us, the more we realize that we're all on this planet together.
Really? Oh, this is such good news.
So I have all my own ideas, of course. And but then there are a lot of people who tried to read these.
Well, there's lots to read. There is a lot of intelligence being communicated in individual circles. Some people think that's perhaps a jigsaw puzzle. If we get all the pieces, we'll know the message. Or hieroglyphics, we've got to translate the alphabet. I don't think so. We are being given a lot of things we recognize. First of all, the underlying geometry in the predominance of sacred geometry being used to design these things. Clearly, there's a designer. And then there's specific information. There are astrological alignments. There's one in my movie that shows the planets such as they will be in 2012, that date we're looking forward
to. Wow.
Yeah.
So whoever's building these believes in that date also.
Well, they're reflecting to us what we think. They give us our symbols. We've had a menorah. We've had a tree of life. They say, see, we see you. We're reflecting back to you that we see you and that there is a we that does see you, you know, and I think that's the kind of point of it all. I think again, we're not being, you know, if they wanted to tell us something that would be important to us, come on, they'd write it out in a wheat field, you know?
But yeah, I think so that we could understand it.
Yeah. But it isn't that sort of thing. Although, I do think that if we were realizing that we are being visited collectively, if it were accepted, I wonder what they would deliver then. I mean, they've obviously got technology beyond ours. Could they help us solve the problems that are challenging us? I do speak about that. I'm the voiceover in the movie, and I do suggest that in the movie, that maybe if we were receptive to them, they would be very helpful to us. But, you know, why could they? How can they help people who won't receive them, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of UFO people talk about that when they finally are revealed, that, you know, they show up and they get on international television with the world leaders, and they say, well, we're here to help, and we have technology that can actually move you forward.
Yeah, I mean, conceivably, yes. The circles, though, are the UFOs really are more are they or aren't they? They don't give us anything that's information, but the circle makers are giving us, you know, they obviously can think in information, and it's our information, so, you know, more likely that they would help us than the UFO folk.
I guess the UFOs should probably start doing skywriting.
Yeah. That would be good. That would be comparable, actually, to what the crop circle makers are doing.
Yeah.
Really? Good idea. See, I'm learning things here. This is good. You're expanding my consciousness.
Well, it's so fascinating to think about other life, and there are many, many ways to look at it. There's, as you said, the future coming back to us. That could be one thing. It could also be visitors from other planets or other universes. And there's a lot of talk now about Hollow Earth and Middle Earth and actually a lot of the UFOs, and could be the crop circles are being created by civilizations from the center of the Earth.
Well, I think you said the key word, civilizations, because the indications are that there is something in embodied form that's delivering these things. Something is designing them. Something is making decisions about them. So it's not like nature in some abstract. I think there are embodied creatures wherever it is that they come from that are delivering these.
Recently, I did a show with Mary Rodwell from Australia, who works with exceptional children. And there are about 1,700 children now that have revealed themselves, and they're very young usually, and they speak in a different language and they have different handwriting, and they talk about their visits to alien UFOs and to being taught, and they have technologies and things like that. And,
really?
And so there are many, many children now, and the show was basically to help people help those children because they are so different that they struggle with not being normal humans.
Right.
And
I didn't know about this. See, you're telling me more new things.
So there are stories from them that help us understand these other civilizations better and what they're doing, and that these children are basically designed to help us move forward as they grow older.
Great. I want to meet some of them.
Yeah, right. So we have all kinds of opportunities, and I think crop circles are the most grounded.
Oh, good. Very good. Touché.
Right. And so What on Earth is the film playing in April 22 to 28.
Yes, at the Quad Cinema.
And also, this will be aired in the archives for years, the show.
And then they have to go to cropcirclemovie.com and buy the DVD.
Okay, right. That's what I was saying.
I'll tell you something else. It's a little secret. It just got on iTunes. So, in fact, you can save your money, save your big money, and spend small money and watch it on iTunes.
Or show up at the theater just to show that.
Oh, yes, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, no,
part of the community.
Right. Well, there'll be a Q&A. I'll be there every night, and so will very interesting panelists. Alex Gray is going to be there, Daniel Pinchbeck. You know, we have really good people. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary is one of our panelists. So very interesting people after the both evening shows every night.
So always, or no, I shouldn't say, it's, just get together with your friends.
And make a theater party,
yeah,
a movie party.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the always is always get enthusiastic about opportunities to show up.
Yay.
And be part of a community that really is looking
forget
at special
I said iTunes.
Things.
No, I never said iTunes.
Right. Well, no, we want to participate.
Yes.
And show up and be part of it.
Indeed. I mean, it would be festive.
Right. So, this is so wonderful that you've been a guest. And I want to thank you for helping us learn more about crop circles. And
great pleasure. I love talking about
it. Yeah. And this is, okay, this is What on Earth? And produced by
Suzanne Taylor.
And
directed by Suzanne
okay,
Taylor.
Good.
Funded by Suzanne Taylor.
All right. All the more reason that we show up and
yeah, really, give me a little back
at the box
here.
Office. And okay, this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.